Hello, Jen.
Your
can you hear
conference
us?
is being recorded.
Another 30 seconds.
Okay.
You may start, Iggs.
Good evening to our call participants from the U.S. and good morning to our call participants in Asia. This is the conference call for the third quarter results of Del Monte Pacific Group, DMPL, ending January 2018. Representing Del Monte in this call are Cito Alejandro, Group Chief Operating Officer of DMPL, Parag Sachdeva, Group CFO of DMPL, Greg Longstreet, CEO of Del Monte Foods, DMFI, subsidiary of DMPL, Dave Myers, Chief Operating Officer of DMFI, Gene Allen, CFO of DMFI, and this is Iggy Sison, Chief Corporate Officer of DMPL. Before we start the call, may we request everyone to please mute his phone. So Parag Sachdeva, our CFO, will now present our third quarter results. Thank you, Iggy,
and good evening, everyone from the U.S. Good morning to all of you in Asia. Starting with the third quarter highlights on slide 5, sales and market share in the U.S. grew with innovation and brand building activities, offset by a decline in DMPL Group's export of pineapple juice concentrate. One-off expenses led to a net loss of $38.4 million. Without the one-off expenses, the group would have generated a net income of $3.4 million. The group wrote off $39.8 million of deferred tax assets at DMFI due to the change in federal income tax rate from 35% to 21%. Other companies in the U.S. with deferred tax assets have similar write-offs due to the reduction in income tax rates. However, this should be more than offset by the reduced tax rates in future years, which will be substantial. DMPL pref share, second tranche offering raised $100 million, significantly reducing gearing. Plan Del Monte Philippines IPO will further improve the capital structure of the group. Slide 6. In terms of outlook, the group is expected to be profitable for FY 2018 on a recurring basis. Major emphasis will continue and continues on responding to consumer trends through strengthening the core business, marketing and trade promotion activities. We continue to invest in the strategic programs that were approved by the board in the U.S. in FY 18. We have planned to invest incremental $45 million for full year on trade and consumer activation programs in the U.S. in FY 18. And we also continue to make structural changes in our supply chain to improve the gross margin, particularly in the U.S. Moving on to slide 7. In terms of the third quarter group results summary, sales of $599.8 million were lowered by 0.7%. U.S. sales is slightly up due to higher volume. Philippines has grown at 8% in local currency and 4% in U.S. dollar terms. S&W brand in Asia has declined by 16%, mainly due to softness in processed fruit category in the international markets. JV in India has grown at 3% in local currency and 8% in US dollar terms. EBITDA of US dollar 46.4 million, down 6% from US dollar 49.2 million due to planned higher trade promotion and marketing spend in DMFI. Incremental spend for the quarter is US dollar 18.7 million. Operating profit of US dollar 27.9 million, down 18% from US dollar 34.1 million. Net profit of US dollar 3.4 million, down 71% from US dollar 11.6 million. And all of the above profitability numbers are without one-off costs and are versus last year. We have also successfully lowered our inventory in the U.S. and reduced the same by $103 million. Moving on to slide 8. Non-recurring expenses. The key items that I included here are deferred tax asset write-down of $39.8 million, as I previously explained. Would like to remind everyone that as part of the group's strategy to improve operational excellence, DMFI divested the underperforming Sega Creek vegetable business in the second quarter. This resulted in incremental expenses amounting to $6.8 million pre-tax in the third quarter. Additionally, we incurred US dollar 4.4 million mainly for severance and professional costs. There were non-recurring expenses last year, mainly related to organization optimization of $4.5 million and an incremental $0.9 million for the closure of North Carolina plant. Slide 9, I will now draw your attention to the Q3 P&L for the group. Third quarter sales at $599.8 million 0.7% lower than last year, with higher U.S. sales offset by decreased exports of processed pineapple products and unfavorable impact of lower pineapple juice concentrate pricing. This will be explained more in the turnover analysis. Gross profit lower than last year, mainly due to lower export sales of processed pineapple products, unfavorable impact of cyclical pineapple juice concentrate pricing. So gross margin at 19.9% decreased by 90 basis points, mainly due to headwinds faced by base business from higher packaging and distribution costs, unfavorable impact of BJC pricing offsetting the gains from DMFI. EBITDA of US dollar 46.4 and operating profit at US dollar 27.9 million, lower versus last year by 6 and 18% respectively on a recurring basis. Operating profits are lower mainly due to higher marketing expenses in DMFI and lower gross profit of base business as explained previously. Financing cost, lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings. DMPL's share in Field Fresh joint venture in India was favorable at US dollar 0.1 million income from a US dollar 0.5 million loss in the prior period due to improvement in sales and margin. Tax cost of US dollar 36.1 million includes US dollar 39.8 million of deferred tax asset write-off. Net income for the quarter on a recurring basis is $3.4 million, down 71%. Net debt at US dollar 1.6 billion, lower by 18% due to payment of borrowings following repayment of bridge loan amounting to US dollar 300 million and inventories in the US lowered by US dollar 103 million, which got us to a gearing ratio of 267%. Mainly driven by decreased borrowings. In the next slide on turnover analysis, Americas constituted 75% of total group sales, increased by 0.4% in the third quarter to $451.5, mainly driven by higher volume of packaged fruit and broth, and increased retail sales marginally offset by higher trade promotion USDA pricing. Overall volume was marginally higher, driven by strong performance of the packaged fruit category in the holiday season, which was partly offset by distribution losses in packaged tomatoes. Investments in consumer advertising and insights are paying dividends as the MFI's market share in canned vegetables and fruits continues to grow, driven by growth in Walmart. The MFI increased its market share additionally in broth and fruit and plastic cups as well due to increased trade and consumer investment. Asia Pacific sales in the third quarter slightly decreased by 0.6% to $140.1 million, mainly due to lower packaged fruit sales, partially offset by higher beverage and culinary sales. The decrease in packaged fruit was mainly driven by lower sales in North Asia due to increased competition from lower-priced canned fruit from Thailand. The Philippine market sales were up 7.8%, driven by expanded penetration and increased consumption of its beverage and culinary products into the peak season of Christmas. The company's thrust on innovation continued with the launch of 100% pineapple juice in Tetra Pak. Food service sales in the Philippines also remained strong, riding on the rapid expansion of quick service restaurants and convenience. Europe declined by 39% to $8.2 million, mainly on lower volume of pineapple juice concentrate and canned pineapple. Slide 11, summary of year-to-date month 9 results. Sales of US$1.7 billion lower by 0.5%. US sales is down by 2%, driven by unfavorable pricing and higher trade promotion spending, most of it which was planned. Philippines has grown at 6% in local currency. S&W in Asia has grown by 9%, driven by double-digit sales growth of fresh pineapple and also expansion into Turkey. JV in India slightly increased at 0.3% in local currency and 5% in US dollar terms. EBITDA of US$131.6 million, down 14% from $152.3 million due to planned higher trade promotion and marketing spend in the MFI. It's an incremental spend of almost US$42 million. Operating profit of US$74.7 million, down 28% from $103.1 million. Net profit similarly at $14.9 million, down 47% from US$28.3 million. All of the above profitability measures are without one-off costs and are versus last year. Slide 12, non-recurring expenses for 9 months. Again, as part of the group strategy, as explained previously, when it comes to divestiture of Sager Creek business in the second quarter, along with closure of the facility, has costed us $13.3 million for year-to-date. For closure of Plymouth plant, that was announced in second quarter but executed in November, we have incurred a spend of $13.3 million. And in addition to that, we have also spent $9.1 million on severance and professional costs, which are of a one-off nature and will help us accelerate our profitability going forward. As explained, in this third quarter, obviously the deferred tax asset write-off is also a big component of one-off costs on a year-to-date month 9 basis. Slide 30 on 9 months P&L. For the 9 months, sales at $1.7 billion is 0.5% lower than last year, mainly due to lower sales in U.S., partly offset by strong sales in Philippines, local currency, as well as S&W. We'll talk more about it and explain in the turnover analysis. Gross profit at $345.4 million, lower than last year due to higher trade promotions and unfavorable pricing impact from USDA food service and pineapple juice contracts. Impact of unfavorable pricing, including trade spend itself, has been around $28 million in year-to-date month-line results from a group perspective. EBITDA of US$131.6 and operating profit of $74.7, lower versus last year by 14% and 28% on a recurring basis. Operating profits are lower due to lower gross profit as explained, and our continued investments in trade and marketing spend in the US in line with our long range plan. We will continue investing in the programs that are working in the balance of the year to drive consumption, increase usage, and expand distribution. Financing costs, lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings. Loss from Steel Fresh, lower than last year. And net income for the year on a recurring basis, as explained, is also lower than last year. Slide 14, on the turnover analysis for 9 months. Again, in line with the third quarter, America is constituting around 75%. It's down 1.8% versus prior period, largely driven by distribution losses in the tomato category, unfavorable pricing in food service, USDA, and higher trade promotion spending, most of which is planned. The key retail segments of canned vegetable, canned fruit, brought as well as plastic fruit cup, all grew sales in the 9 months despite some category declines. The MFI increased its market share during the 9 months across several key categories in retail, that is canned vegetable, canned fruit, broth and fruit in plastic cups, driven by increased trade and consumer investment. Asia Pacific sales in the 9 months increased by 3%. On higher packaged fruit and others. The Philippine market sales were up almost 6% in peso terms. The group continued to invest in driving inclusion of Del Monte products in consumer weekly menu behind 360-degree campaigns across the brand. Food service sales in the Philippines, just as you saw in Q3, also continued to expand, riding on the rapid expansion of quick service restaurants and convenience stores. Sales of the S&W business, the fastest growing business of DMPI in Asia and Middle East, were up 9%, driven by double-digit sales growth of fresh pineapple and successful expansion into Turkey. Europe sales improved by 10.1% to $23.4 million, mainly on higher volume of canned pineapples due to improved supply in the first half. Slide 15. On pref share offering, we raised $100 million from the offer in December 2017. Coupon rate of 6.5% per annum, payable semi-annually. We, just to remind you, we raised $200 million from the first tranche offering of pref shares, which was listed in April 2017. And the first dividend for the first tranche was paid in October 2017. Total proceeds of $300 million from the two tranches, substantially paid down a loan, bringing down our gearing to 2.7 times from 5.3 times. Slide 16, Del Monte Philippines IPO, that's our crown jewel. We plan to sell its 20% stake in its wholly owned subsidiary, DMPI, through an IPO on Philippine Stock Exchange. Up to $320 million of proceeds expected, subject to book building and market conditions. Consumer companies on the PSE are trading at an average of 29 times P, and this is expected to further improve the group's gearing and bring it down to less than 2 times. With that, I would hand over to Greg, who will take us over through the and provide more color on the U.S. business.
Good evening and good morning. I'm Greg Longstreet, and I'm going to walk you through the Del Monte Foods organization and our progress in Q3. To begin, we have outlined a four-point growth strategy for the company. It's rooted in building more relevance for our products, driving innovation in our current categories and in new categories, expanding distribution into growth areas, and optimizing our supply chain. To help us achieve some of these ambitious growth plans, I am pleased to announce that we have appointed some new staff and some new leadership to our team. First and foremost, we hired DB Wu as our Chief Marketing Officer, and we're pleased to have her talent and experience in consumer packaged goods leading our marketing efforts, as well as our innovation efforts, and she will also be combining our research and development efforts under her umbrella of management, and really will be charged with driving portfolio change and investment to grow our brands. Secondly, we appointed Brian Pitchley as Vice President of our Food Service Division. Brian, as well, is a seasoned and experienced vet in the food service industry and brings a number of talents and skills to our food service business that we intend to grow substantially in the coming 3 and 5 year periods. Under this new leadership, the company has become more market-driven, innovative, and aligned with consumer preferences. On slide 19 is a review of our brand leadership in the United States. We retained our number one market share in the canned vegetable business at 31%, number one market share in canned fruit at 37%, number two market share in plastic fruit at 33%, and number two market share in our canned tomato business at 9%. I'm pleased to announce that we grew our share in three of those four core categories in the third quarter, with substantial growth in our fruit cut business, which has been led by some recent innovation efforts. Our fruit and vegetable results really have been driven by the fiscal 18 strategies and investments we've made in our commercial plans. We have invested new marketing dollars, new trade dollars, to help us improve execution at retail and really help us build these brands, revitalize our brands, and expand our business, and we're pleased with the progress we've made again in the third quarter this year. On slide 20, here's a review of our third quarter sales, which were up 0.2% to $451.5 million U.S. That was led by higher volume of packaged fruit and broth. The Del Monte Fruit and Chia Cups that were launched this year in the second quarter are performing quite well and exceeding our expectations for volume. These adult fruit cups combine fruit and chia seeds and are unique in the marketplace. Del Monte Foods followed this launch in the third quarter with a new introduction of Grab and Go fruit cups, which are single-serve cups with added spoons or forks to the product to help make the products more convenient for that on-the-go consumer. These new products ride on current consumer trends of healthy living, snacking, and convenience. The MFI's market shares in canned vegetable and fruit, plastic fruit cup, and broth categories increased in the quarter, driven by our investments, these compelling innovations, and strong execution at retail. On slide 21, our EBITDA grew, was at 4.0. $4 million in the quarter EBITDA for the company, which was a net loss of 54.8 to the group. As part of the group's strategy to improve operational excellence, the MFI divested its underperforming Sager Creek vegetable business in the second quarter. This involved shutting down the production facility in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. DMFI also shut its Plymouth, Indiana tomato production facility in the third quarter to streamline operations and improve efficiency. These resulted in additional one-off expenses in the third quarter amounting to a U.S. $11.2 million pre-tax or U.S. $6.2 million post-tax. We wrote off $39.8 million of deferred tax assets due to changes in the federal income tax rate from 35% to 21% this quarter. However, this should be more than offset by the reduced tax rates in the future years, which will be substantial. Moreover, the additional marketing and trade spend in the U.S. amounted to $18.7 million of investment this third quarter to, help, again, help strengthen our business and drive the volume results that we achieved. On slide 22 is a little more detail regarding our new four areas of growth and strategy for the company. When we talk about building relevance, we will be continuing to differentiate our brands and products in order to drive consumer preference. We're going to be reinforcing our points of difference, Del Monte's quality, the College Inn brand's rich, flavorful taste. We will be elevating our taste and health and convenience credentials through our efforts to make our products non-GMO, all natural, and include healthy pack mediums and flavors. We will also be exploiting pockets of growth. Secondly, driving innovation means we'll be addressing evolving consumer needs, shifting eating behaviors, and changing demographics. We intend to reach new consumer targets, mostly our millennials, and extend into new usage occasions, both in the morning occasions, healthy snack occasions, and dinner meals, and we will enter adjacent spaces. Thirdly, we will expand distribution by extending our reach into growing channels and aisles of the grocery store. We will establish leadership in the growing food service and e-commerce sectors and are excited to be expanding our presence and re-entering the produce areas of the store where strong volume growth is occurring. Lastly, we will continue to improve efficiencies by increasing our focus and optimizing our cost base to support strategy and fuel investment in growth areas. We are realigning our manufacturing and supply chain footprint, and more work will follow. We are also driving efficiencies in our sourcing model. On slide 23, we have some examples of the new grab-and-go fruit cups that we launched this quarter. I'm very excited about the potential of these products, really building on our expertise in packaged fruit, more contemporary fruit packaging, and convenience. There are four flavors with unique pack mediums that are highly innovative and on-trend with U.S. consumers. And on slide 24 are some examples of our marketing investments and highlights. In our vegetable business, this year in fiscal 18, we invested significant new dollars in reaching consumers, reminding consumers about the greatness of our products, the quality and freshness of our products, and new ways to use and consume our products across all forms of media. On our College Inn business, we launched a new campaign highlighting the flavor that our product can add to meals and that our products are delicious in the details we provide. So exciting work going on with College Inn as we expand distribution from a strong regional presence in the northeast of the United States into the southeast and eventually moving across the country. In fruit, again, very excited about the launch of Fruit and Chia, a truly innovative and unique product in the category that's attracting new users. We are investing to tell consumers about these products to drive trial and awareness, and again, investing across multiple points of media platforms to announce these products. Lastly, our food service division, it will be a growing area of focus for the company. This is a channel that we're very excited about, particularly with Brian's new leadership. This quarter, we obtained our first acceptance and distribution with the Compass Food Buy Group, which will allow us to gain national distribution through Sysco in a number of key items, 10 canned fruit items, 5 canned vegetable items, and additional SKUs will be now available nationally through Sysco for the first time through this arrangement. We've also expanded our portfolio of our College Inn business, which is new to the food service channel, and see tremendous potential to grow broth across the country within food service. And then lastly, within food service, are having some great success building our school program, where we're providing healthy products to K through 12 school systems across America and supporting the Buy America campaign. And with that, I will turn it over to Cito.
Thank you, Greg. I will now report on the Del Monte Philippines business. As you know, DMPI is the group's second largest subsidiary and comprises sales in the Philippine domestic market as well as exports, mainly fresh and processed pineapple. As earlier mentioned, third quarter sales of 144.2 billion was down 3% in peso terms, due primarily to lower exports volume and lower prices of our commodity industrial pineapple juice concentrate. First 9 months sales, however, of close to 412 million was up 7.5% in peso terms. If you look at that slide, at the bottom of it is a picture of our 100% pineapple juice, which is now available in Tetra Pak format, 1 liter, that will allow us to increase consumption at home. The same format will be available under the S&W brand in our S&W international markets. Next slide, 27, talks about the Philippines, and you can see at the top of the chart that Del Monte remains the market leader across core categories, namely pineapple, mixed fruit, beverage, and our culinary products led by tomato sauce and spaghetti sauce. Much of the growth is being driven by the modern trade and the convenience stores, no, where Del Monte has very strong presence. Another significant development is our expanding food service sales, now accounting for 17% of Philippine sales. And in summary, our goal is to drive growth through continuation of building new categories, channels, and markets to ensure future competitiveness and growth. Moving now to slide 28, which talks more about the Philippine market. Third quarter sales were 8% in peso terms, but 4% in U.S. dollar terms due to peso depreciation. There were essentially two developments in the past quarter in the Philippines. One is our foray into new beverage formats, particularly juice with concentrates, which offers a snack-in-a-drink product that has great appeal among millennials. The second one is the increase in our food service sales, primarily driven by the expansion of quick service restaurants and convenience stores. Slide 29 shows you the picture of our execution in store of the juice and juice product. We've been able to gather a lot of positive feedback, and from the initial introduction in convenience stores, we will soon launch this in the main channels, modern trade as well as general trade. Slide 30 talks more about beverage now going to new flavors of our juice drinks. We have the mango peach and the white grape. In fact, the white grape has turned out to be one of the most popular SKUs, which eventually we will end up keeping. Moving now to Asia and the Middle East, under the S&W brand, one of the key developments right now is we are seeing more consumers moving to natural food and fresh produce, and that's the reason why S&W has been able to expand its sales of S&W Sweet 16 Fresh Pineapple, which now accounts for 70% of the brand's revenue portfolio. E-commerce and digital are growing in North Asia. S&W is now in JD.com and will soon explore other digital companies in Asia, particularly in China. The next page is slide 32, talks more about the S&W business. As earlier reported, the S&W business in the third quarter fell 16% below a year ago, and that's because of increased competition from cheaper priced products from Thailand that impacted the group's business in China. We believe that as we go into the middle of this year, this condition will change, and we should have a more favorable pineapple business, particularly in China. One of the things that has come to S&W is we have now introduced first in Singapore and eventually in the rest of Asia Pacific, the fruit and chia product, the successful fruit and chia product from Del Monte Foods under the S&W brand. We started this in Singapore a couple of months ago, and as we go into next fiscal year, we expect to launch this to the rest of Asia Pacific as well as the Middle East. Slide 33 shows you the execution of the S&W fruit and chia product in Singapore. Very nice exposure, and we got a lot of good trial from the product. Slide 34 talks about another new market that S&W penetrated later last year. We're now in Turkey with a full assortment of pineapple and juice products, and we're seeing a lot of traction in this market, and we're very happy that we are here, and we think that we can build lots of market share in this market. Moving now to Field Fresh India, slide 35. We're pleased to report that we are making good progress here in India. In fact, in the quarter, we improved our sales and our margin. Below the page, I'd like you to take a look at this one of our initiatives in our core category of tomato ketchup. We have actually increased the portfolio, and we've even upgraded the look of the packaging. Slide 36, two more new products that we launched in India. Sandwich spread, which is a very, very popular product in that market, considering the high bread usage. So we have two new products, and very exciting that we've been able to put this in handy packages, stand-up pouches. No? And the other product is our entry into the domestic pasta 200-gram business priced at rupees 49. No? And this is a good trial generator and recruitment pack, not only for that category, but also as a good way to build brand equity among the growing our growing set of consumers in that market. And lastly is slide 37. We wanted to feature to you the World Food India Day, where we participated in, composed of thousands of companies in India, and it was a very good event, and I believe that we were able to generate a lot of customer and consumer loyalty for the Del Monte brand. So that ends up the Del Monte Philippines report. I'll now turn you over to Iggy for the rest of the presentation.
Thank you, Sito. For sustainability, which is part of our brand equity and part of our five strategic pillars, improving operational excellence and sustainability, Del Monte Philippines and the Cannery Employees Union signed a memorandum of agreement covering wage increases and improved benefits. And in the office of Del Monte Philippines in Manila, the JY Campos Center won an Energy Efficiency Outstanding Award for energy savings. Our foundation continues to be very active in northern Mindanao, in the southern part of the Philippines, through its community service programs, medical dental missions, technical skills training, and home care education, among others. So to recap on slide 39, as presented earlier, for the third quarter, sales and market shares in the U.S. Through Del Monte Foods grew with innovation and brand building activity, offset by a decline in DMPL Group's exports of pineapple juice concentrate and pineapple products. In the third quarter, we also wrote off $39.8 million of deferred tax asset in Del Monte Foods due to the change in federal income tax rate from 35% to 21%. And other companies in the U.S. with deferred tax assets have similar write-offs due to the reduction in income tax rates. However, this should be more than offset by the reduced tax rates in future years, which will be substantial. Without the one-off expenses, the Monte Pacific Group would have generated a net income of $3.4 million in the third quarter. The DMPL preference shares second tranche offering raised $100 million, significantly reducing gearing on top of the $200 million that we raised earlier in the year in April 2017. And as we announced in February, we plan the Del Monte Philippines IPO, which will further improve the capital structure of the group. And finally, on slide 40, barring unforeseen circumstances and excluding one-off expenses, the DMPL group is expected to be profitable for FY 2018, as you will see in our 9 months results. We will continue to emphasize on responding to consumer trends through strengthening the core business with healthier options and new products in the marketplace, supported by marketing and trade promotion and active channel development. We will continue to focus on businesses that are on trend, and we will rationalize unprofitable segments of our business. We will continue to innovate in process and packaging technology, as well as in our supply chain, agriculture, and manufacturing technology. And we will continue to work and execute on our digital strategic initiatives. We will improve financial performance through G&A cost optimization and multi-year restructuring for operations and supply chain. So with that, we'd like to open the floor to questions.
Hello, can I ask a question on the U.S. operation?
Go ahead, please.
Good to see that we're kind of introducing new energy into the organizations, but we're still seeing that the sales grow declining market is small compared to the additional investment we're making into marketing and others. How long do we see this profitability will continue? Profitability drop will continue, and where do we target to turn around and become more profitable?
Yes, this the investments made this year were intended to help turn around our performance in these categories. We have not seen share growth in these core businesses in several years, so we're pleased that we've ignited more interest from consumers, from customers, established ourselves as the clear leader in these categories, and have brought new news and innovation to the categories. That was the intention this year. As we look forward, we realize it's critical that innovation is leading our growth and certainly our profitability improvements and our margin improvements as we move into more convenient products, more innovative categories in the perimeter of store and other channels of business. So this investment year will translate into increased profit in future years. And as we look forward, as we build our plans for 19 and beyond, we feel very good about our ability to increase profitability in the United States market.
So you are looking at next year to for the profit to increase?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. And another question is on the Asia business. I guess it mentions that you see Thailand's competitors at the lower price, but you also mentioned that going forward you don't see this as you will overcome this. Can you elaborate a bit what gives you the confidence that you can overcome the low cost competitor from Thailand?
I think history proves us right. The pineapple business in Thailand has been a cyclical one. and we have always been under that pressure. No? But I say things will improve because, number one, as you know, the Thailand pineapple prices at the farm gate dropped to as low as 3 baht per kilo, right? And a lot of the farmers have already shifted to other crops. So I believe that as we go through this year, particularly this summer, wherein they will do their harvest, we will see that the Thailand supply will be constrained. The reason why they're able to sell at very low prices is because they are unloading excess material in the market. And that goes also for pineapple concentrate. The old inventory of pineapple concentrate is gone. So now I think we have more stable supply, and with more stable supply and a lot of the blenders returning to pineapple, which at one point in time had a very prohibitive price and that forced them into other alternatives, I believe that will improve as we go through the second half of this calendar year.
I see. So you will see this low-cost competitor from Thailand coming in a seasonal way, right? Like once
well,
a year?
Thailand has always been a... Yeah. Thailand has always been a low-cost producer. No? In fact, with varying qualities, our pineapple quality is very different. Right? So they will continue to be there, but the issue is when the supply is way in excess, the tendency, the real market reality is they will drop the price. And that's the time that our volumes get affected temporarily.
Okay. All right. Understand. Okay, the next question is on China. China consumer spending is increasing very rapidly, and I see many of my investment in China food-related business has grown very, very rapidly. Can you elaborate a bit more on the plan to capture this growing huge market beyond what you have shared on e-commerce and other stuff?
Well, China is a key priority for S&W. The primary markets of S&W are North Asia, which is comprised of China, Korea, and Japan. And then the other, the next big chunk of its business is the Middle East, right, where we are present through our distributors. We say China is a priority because that is one market where our pineapple-led strategy is growing. As you know, China is now our number one market for fresh pineapple under the S&W brand. And over the years, year-to-date results of China show that our net sales is 26% above a year ago, and volume is about 37% above a year ago. And it now actually comprises about one third of the total S&W portfolio revenue, which includes both fresh and processed. So our priority in China is to further expand into the second tier cities. If you're aware of the second tier cities, because that's where the big opportunities are for both fresh and processed pineapple. And second is we are really participating in the in e-commerce. No? Right now we're in JD.com, and soon we will be going to Alibaba. So the two strategies really for China is one of deeper distribution and capitalizing on the growing dominance of e-commerce in that country.
Just to build on what Sito said, we have also launched beverages in China this year, as well as processed pineapple in clear can, which is a new packaging format.
Very good. Will you go into local production?
Well, not yet. It depends. We have had a lot of offers for local production, but definitely we have to evaluate that. We have no plans at the moment.
Okay.
I think the other thing in China is we've expanded the Contadina pasta sauce under the S&W brand. So whatever is the pasta sauce we're selling in the Philippines, under the Del Monte brand, we use the same product. This time, we put it in a stand-up pouch to increase its affordability, right, versus the standard can or glass packaging format. So that one is still in its early stage, but we have begun distribution in China. Our key partner in China is a company called Good Farmer, and they're the number one fresh banana operator or supplier in China today.
Okay. All right. Then the last question is, you know, across the group, good to see that you have this chia seed things that's kind of common across U.S. and Asia. I hope that will create more synergy, lower the total cost per unit for the bigger data, a bigger volume. Given that U.S. is looking at next year to turn around, given that also your preference share interest is probably, a dividend is probably higher than your bank interest cost, right? Where do you see, and given also that you are probably going to have continue one-off expenses, right? Net in, where do you see the company profit increase? Would it be next year or the year after?
So on that one, obviously this year, considering we have closed two plants, there has been a considerable one-off impact. Plus, we also, as you know, took the write-off on deferred tax asset, which was around $40 million. We do not expect the one-off cost to impact us in a similar manner, even though the restructuring would continue in the coming years, which should benefit and accelerate our gross margin increase that Greg alluded to previously. So to answer your question, one-off costs would continue in the next coming years, subject to the board's approval of the restructuring plan. But obviously, we will see improvement in profitability and in terms of dividend payouts with our retained earnings continuing to be quite healthy at a group level. I do not see an issue or don't foresee an issue in terms of making sure that they are being continually paid every 6 months.
Okay, that's the dividend for preference share, right? You're not talking about the mother share, right?
I was focusing on pref, but obviously with improvement expected in profitability of the U.S. business and also continued growth on the base business. And from an overall perspective, we expect to also pay dividend to the common shareholders in the coming years.
Okay. Okay, maybe I just finished that. So just add in one more. Many of the one-off, like the tax and all the stuff, I think they are non-cash item, right? You didn't cover about cash flow. Is the cash flow healthy?
Yes, the cash flow is improving, especially with the inventory release and inventory reduction that we have seen in the U.S. And with the increased focus around that, we will see more improvements in the cash flow as well.
Okay. All right. No more questions. Thanks a lot.
Are there any other questions from the floor?
Any other questions? Jenny there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, we'd like to conclude our conference call for the third quarter results of Del Monte Pacific and thank all of you for joining us. Good day to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 5 minutes.